Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. Oh, it's going to be a loud morning. Earlier, they had me test the mic, and they said, talk normally. And I said, I don't talk normally. I talk loudly. So now it's going to be even more loudly. Good morning. My name is Loretta Jobe. I'm a retired deacon that calls this church home, a church where we want to know God, love God, and serve God. We are so grateful for all of you being here today. Happy Mother's Day for everyone who is here with us today. We are going to be hearing from Pastor John. We'll be getting a series about our capital improvement campaign, and so you'll want to be tuned in for that. There are connection cards inside your bulletin. We've had many discussions about those. We really do appreciate you filling those out. I know you haven't changed your email or your address. It's the same. But A, we want to know you're here. And B, we want to give you an opportunity to sign up and join in on some of the missions and ministries that happen here at the church. And so that card is your way to do that for us. We really do appreciate it. So thank you for doing that. There are also yellow prayer cards in the pew backs. We are a praying congregation, and so if you or someone you know is in need of prayer, please fill one of those out, and we will get it to our weekly prayer team as well as to the congregational care team and the clergy staff. Today in worship, Rose Bledsoe and Sue Urban will be helping us celebrate and praise God this day. And if you haven't already left for Sunday school, I don't see any little ones around. That is downstairs and the nursery as well, so you're welcome to take part in those. I have three announcements this morning. The first is a reminder again about our combined worship service on May 18th at 10 a.m. So please mark your calendars and be a part of that. We will be joining with Whitmore Lake for that service here, and the Whitmore Lake campus will join us here. And after the worship service, there'll be a presentation about our Building Together campaign. So you'll want to come, be at service, have some refreshments, and be part of that conversation as well. So May 14th is our blood drive. We normally do those around Christmas time. So this will be nice. We can get some of our snowbirds to participate with us. You do need to register. You can do that online to make an appointment. But we also need volunteers to help that day. So if you are not a donor but would like to help out that day, please look on the website, find that contact information, call the church office, and we'll get you connected with the folks putting that together. And then lastly, on May 17th, we're going to be participating in what's called the Ark of Justice Tour. I did this last time they offered it. It was an amazing morning of information and sharing. It is a group tour that will be led by residents of Detroit, people connected to some of the histories. You will be visiting some important historical sites in the city and important to the civil rights movement. These are advocates for a community justice, particularly as it relates to racial understanding and cooperation among Christ followers. So this is sponsored by many other churches in the Detroit area as well. So again, I went last time. It was amazing. You would definitely enjoy and learn, and it would be a good day. Wear a jacket. You are outside. You're standing outside, so you'll be moving from place to place to warm up. But we were a little chilly last year. But we'll pray for good weather. Those are my announcements this morning. At this time, I would ask you to please rise as you are able and join in our opening hymn, The Church's One Foundation.
Good morning. Please join your hearts and voices with mine in the opening prayer. Lord of all, we lift up our mothers to you today, the mothers who gave birth to us, the mothers who raised us, and those who came to us as a mother when we needed one. We pray for new mothers that you would bless them with patience and stamina. We pray for grandmothers who worry that you would give them the peace of your presence. Bless all these mothers today and always. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The scripture lesson is from Corinthians chapter 3, and it is Paul who is referring to himself in the scripture reading, and he's talking about Apollos, a church leader. Otherwise, it'll sound confusing if you don't understand that part. Who do you think Paul is, anyway, or Apollos, for that matter? Servants, both of us, servants who waited on you as you gradually learned to entrust your lives to our mutual master. We each carried out our servant assignment. I planted the seed, Apollos watered the plants, but God made you grow. It's not the one who plants or the one who waters who is at the center of this process, but God who makes things grow. Planting and watering are menial servant jobs at minimum wages. What makes them worth doing is the God we are serving. You happen to be God's field in which we are working. Or, to put it another way, You are God's house. Using the gift God gave me as a good architect, I designed blueprints. Apollos is putting up the walls. Let the carpenter who comes on the job take care to build on the foundation. Remember, there is only one foundation, the one already laid, Jesus Christ. Take particular care in picking out your building materials. Eventually, there is going to be an inspection. If you use cheap or inferior materials, you'll be found out. The inspection will be thorough and rigorous. You won't get by with a thing. If your work passes inspection, fine. If it doesn't, your part of the building will be torn out and started over. But you won't be torn out. You'll survive, but just barely. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Sue, for reading the scriptures for us this morning. I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us to build with great materials. Amen. I don't know if you caught some of the details of this particular scripture passage, but I just want to start actually by saying Happy Mother's Day to all of you. I hope that you are able to find some way of celebrating this day, and I hope that you feel appreciated and warmly appreciated by those in your life that you love and care about. And I'm a little anxious to be preaching about building materials in a capital campaign in the midst of this Mother's Day celebration. It's a little bit like receiving a vacuum cleaner on Mother's Day or a new set of pans, so I apologize for that mildly. But as we begin this sermon series about this Building Together campaign, you know, I was thinking a little bit about a story that about a traveler who came across three people who were laying bricks, and he asked the same question to all three of the builders. He said, "What is it that you're doing?" As the first bricklayer that he came across was putting a brick up on the wall, he said, "Well, I'm laying a brick. Isn't that fairly obvious?" And the traveler continued on his way, and he walked up to the next person. And he said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm building a wall." And he's like, "Yep, it's pretty clear you're building a wall there." And he continued on his way, this traveler did, to the third person who was doing the exact same thing, laying a brick. And he said, "What is it that you're doing?" And he says, "I'm actually building a cathedral," because the third builder recognized that there was a bigger picture, a larger vision of what was taking place in the midst of everything going on, and recognized that it wasn't just one brick that was being laid, but it was actually the construction of a beautiful place that would someday transform the lives of so many people. It's actually, in my opinion, kind of a miracle that we're all here where we are today. When you think about it, our denomination, our faith tradition, traces its roots all the way back to the 1700s when John Wesley and his brother Charles experienced the transforming grace of God. That's where we trace our lineage back to. And when John and Charles Wesley got together, they formed some of these small groups. They called themselves the Holiness Club. Talk about a pious and sort of egocentric, you know, kind of proclamation. We are a part of the Holiness Club. I don't know if that's a group that I would have joined when I was in college, but needless to say, they had a vision for transforming the church. They thought when they walked into the Anglican church that their dad was preaching at, that people, though they proclaimed to be alive in the Spirit of God, they looked around and they're like, "Gosh, these folks look like what they call the frozen chosen, no emotional energy, no vigor to their faith." And he said, "Let's transform this place. Let's set this place on fire." And they started a spiritual movement that just began with a couple of people. But as time went on, it became increasingly contagious as it spread throughout John Wesley's preaching and his organizational skills. He would gather people in fields and out in public places, and he would stand on boxes and preach to people wherever they would listen to him. As I've read some of his sermons, I recognize some of his preaching was fairly obnoxious. He'd sort of poke people with a stick and spur them on to be better versions of themselves. It was inspiring, quite frankly. So inspiring that by the time John Wesley passed, there were 100,000 followers of the way, the people called Methodists in the early movement of the Methodist Church. By the time he passed, there were 100,000 people who considered themselves part of that movement. It wasn't all roses, though. When John Wesley came to the Americas, people rejected him. They didn't want to listen to his preaching. In fact, they were so emphatic about that, he was almost kicked out of the colonies and sent back to England. He recognized that he wasn't particularly effective in the Americas, and so he ordained a couple of bishops who ordained other pastors and sent them out. And for a period of time between 1776 and 1850, over 35,000 churches were started, which meant that they were averaging starting a new community of faith three times a day for a period of 75 years. At one point, there were more Methodist churches than U.S. postal services, which was probably over the top, but needless to say, this was one of the most vibrant spiritual movements the world had ever seen. We are inheritors of that particular movement. In the 1830s, a group of people started gathering inside people's houses just down the street from here. There was a gathering of people who also considered themselves spiritually alive, and they would invite a circuit rider into their home so that the circuit rider, if you can imagine, pastors at that point didn't have parsonages, they didn't have homes to live into, they lived on the back of donkeys, and they would go house to house preaching the word on what were called circuits at that particular time, which was incredibly powerful, except the preachers at that time only lived on average to 35 years old. I'm here to say I'm very grateful for the parsonage you all have provided. I would be dead if it were up to the average life expectancy of preachers back in the day. But at that particular time, a group of folks gathered in people's houses, and the very first pastor who was appointed to this particular congregation was Elijah Holmes Pitcher. He was the first missionary to the Oar Creek area, which is a name that still continues to be meaningful to some folks in this area. And a little bit later on, at that particular time, there were folks who gathered in the Whitmore Lake community in the exact same way in people's houses so that they could do Bible studies. And around 1866, land was donated by Louis Buchholz and Joseph Prey in the Whitmore Lake community, which was the land that we would ultimately build the Whitmore Lake campus of our church on. They donated the land with the intention that a church would be constructed or a seminary, which if you've been to the Whitmore Lake campus, you'd think that would have been a pretty small seminary. Needless to say, it was an incredibly generous donation. They said if a church doesn't get constructed there, it would also be fine if a school was built to be able to provide education for folks in the community as long as it was just a tad higher in terms of educational attainment than whatever was provided by the public schools. I've found myself thinking about those two families, the decision to donate land to the church so that eventually a church could be constructed upon it. Those folks are long gone, but they have numerous living descendants that are still alive in our midst, and I sometimes wonder from their perch in heaven what it's like to look down at our Whitmore Lake campus and think about all of the people who have been baptized and all the people who have been married and all the people who have celebrated their life and faith and gone on to glory right there in the midst of that church community. A couple of years ago, five people from our Whitmore Lake campus made the decision to get baptized or have their baptism reaffirmed by going out into Whitmore Lake and standing there in the water, freezing cold. I can't imagine it. Pastor Lindsay did that. I was like, go ahead, baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You go first, you know? But I wonder what the view would have been like from heaven watching people get baptized in what I think is one of the most beautiful pieces of property that the Methodist Church owns in Michigan. This will surprise almost nobody, but in 1893, the United Methodist Women of the Whitmore Lake Campus, they were called the Women's Aid Society at the time, got together and did a fundraising campaign. For 10 years, they worked at this, and they raised enough money to replace the kerosene lights with chandeliers. Imagine that transition. And a coal furnace replaced the pot-bellied stoves that... And they also worked to refinish the floors and carpets, and the parsonage was redecorated. Can you imagine that? They also purchased at that time the very same bell that currently rings in the bell tower to let people know that worship is beginning. At that time, they also raised enough funds to build a pipe organ in the church so that the group could sing the hymns that they had in some cases memorized and decided were important. Throughout our Whitmore Lakes campus's history, they oftentimes have prided themselves in the early stages of that church's movement on providing meals after University of Michigan football games to raise money for missions. So as people drove by on 23, they would stop at Whitmore Lake and allow their stomachs to be fed after the winningest college football program in America would oftentimes celebrate another victory. People would go to the Whitmore Lake campus, sorry Spartans, you know, and they would go to the Whitmore Lake campus and they would eat and they would raise money for missions throughout the church's history. Right here in this campus, if you can imagine some of these events, in 1854, the first church building was constructed at this site for a price of $1,600. Oh, if we could only go back in time. Later on, a new church was constructed and completed in 1905. At this point, the construction of that sanctuary was $4,000. Later on in 1963, the space that we call the community room was constructed, and in 1977, an education wing was constructed and added on to that. Finally, the sanctuary that you sit in right now was completed and dedicated in 1996. I hesitate to tell you the price tag of some of those later additions. Throughout the course of our history, there have been numerous constructions, acquisitions, building projects, including the Red Balloon, Vina, and the space we call the Well. Throughout our church's history, there have been moments where people have come together and said, we want to invest in the future of our church. We want to make this space not only a welcoming space for ourselves, but for people who will come beyond us, for the next generation of people who feel called to make this place their spiritual home. From the moment that Pastor Lindsay and I were introduced at this church, our predecessor, Reverend Dr. Sherry Parker Lewis, said to us, I believe that I'm leaving the church in a wonderful position. That was true, and it is true. It's a beautiful church where people come and get baptized and get married and ultimately celebrate some of the most significant moments of faith in the midst of this space. In the same introductory conversation, one of the things that Sherry mentioned to us was the reality is some of the infrastructural pieces of our church are aging, and one of the things that you'll find is we started a fund a number of years ago, about 5 years before Sherry retired, money was starting to be squirreled away in what we called the Building Reserve Fund so that at some point when it came time to replace the HVAC system that's actually running as we speak, if you feel that cool air coming over you, that's one of the systems that's like number one on our list. If you were here last year, you probably heard people literally hammering on the roof of this church. And I can't tell you enough how grateful I am for Ferguson Roofing, because they came through and they actually only charged us building materials for the roof that eventually was replaced on here. They only charged us $23,000, which is less expensive than probably most people will pay to have their own homes' roofs replaced. In the midst of all of the work, I want to say a huge thank you to folks who have been a part of the Building Together campaign team, who have met with nearly 70 contractors, oftentimes getting multiple bids. One of my greatest stories that I'll share with you at this point today is as folks were going out looking for a replacement for the HVAC system, one of the quotes came back, and I almost hesitate to even say this. The first bid on it was $360,000. But as we continue to start to ideate and dream about how we might be able to do things differently, less expensively, more efficiently, we brainstormed about ways that we could cool off the sanctuary and heat it alternatively. And as we continued to talk to contractor after contractor, just recently a bid came back for a different system that we would install inside the sanctuary that would save the church over $240,000. By meeting with contractor after contractor, we've been able to cut costs in all different kinds of ways, and several people have come up to us in the midst of this process and said, "So I understand you want to build a small trash enclosure around our beautiful dumpsters, which are probably the nastiest part of our church property." Somebody said, "I know how to build that. I'd love to give my time and expertise." Another person who's gifted in construction said to me, "I'd be willing to donate some time to help coordinate volunteers to completely redo the roof on the well, a volunteer effort that will probably save an additional $10,000 to $15,000 off the quote that we received to redo the well's roof." Other people have come forward and said, "I'd love to contribute to one part or another." Hopefully, over the last week, folks received a mailing inside their mailbox that included a booklet, and hopefully this was informative. If you have any questions about what we're trying to do or why, there's going to be a wonderful presentation that takes place next week about the things that we hope to accomplish. I'm here to tell you there's nothing ultimately glamorous about replacing the asphalt on a parking lot. Nobody's going to be jumping up and down, probably, unless you have to use a walker and you're walking across the parking lot and you find it difficult to transgress some of the boundaries that have cropped up over the course of that parking lot's 30-year life. But I was thinking, as I was preparing for this message, what if that parking lot could tell its story? What if it was able to, almost like Siri or Alexa that's always listening inside your house, what if the parking lot recorded all of the conversations that have taken place on that boring, mundane space? What if it told you about the VBS kids that asked some of the most significant and transformative questions of their entire faith journey while walking across to that green space that we used to have the red balloon on? What if the parking lot could tell you the stories that have taken place on that parking lot when the true decisions of our church get made in the parking lot after the meeting that took place within the walls? What if the church parking lot could tell you the stories about people who pulled into this space to sit out on the benches of our prayer labyrinth after significant moments took place in their life? What if the parking lot could tell stories about people who came in to meet with the clergy staff here at this church after they had lost loved ones and they stood out in the parking lot just taking in one of those deep, significant breaths to sort of reset themselves before going out into the world? What if the parking lot could tell you the stories about the moments that we did Easter egg hunts and the kids, after the Easter bunny had worked so laboriously and intensively to stuff all of those Easter eggs, if the kids who were standing there just waiting, praying that the megaphone would announce the beginning of the Easter egg hunt so that in 30 seconds, all 2,000 eggs would be miraculously scooped up off the grass in a moment? Yeah, the parking lot's boring until you recognize all of the ministry that takes place in that space. I believe that in some ways we've come to a significant seminal moment in the life of our church. I mentioned to you that we started a fund almost 10 years ago. Total in this booklet, we're probably looking at nearly $1 million worth of projects. But here's the good news, friends. We've already saved about $400,000 for this work. Just this last week, we completed one of the big significant parts of the Building Together campaign down at our Whitmore Lake campus. For 3 years, there's been caution tape out in front of the church in the main entryway. And I have to say a big thanks to everybody who's been involved in this project, because all of that earth and rocks that used to be there that was sort of unsafe, the concrete, was all busted up by some folks at Todd Services, and a completely new front area of the church has been redecorated and redone. The landscape is already complete. I don't know necessarily all of the stories that will take place at the Whitmore Lake campus in the next generation, but my hope is that someday people will look back at a moment just like this, and they'll thank God for all of you the same way that I pay homage to Joseph Prey and others who have donated and supported with the unique abilities that God has given each and every one of us. I loved the Message version of this scripture. It said, eventually there's going to be an inspection. If you use cheap or inferior materials, you'll be found out. It sort of sounds a little bit like some of the ways in which my mother would remind me to do things right the first time. The inspection will be thorough and rigorous. You won't get by with just a thing. If your work passes inspection, fine. If it doesn't, your part of the building will be torn out and started over. But you won't be torn out. You won't be torn out. You'll survive. I don't know what to make of this last part, but just barely. Remember, the church is just one foundation, the one already laid in Jesus Christ. I imagine that most of you probably receive almost every day some sort of solicitation for funding. I'm grateful for philanthropic organizations through our community who are doing incredibly good things. I'm grateful for places like the Zoological Society. I'm grateful for the schools, which I almost always feel as a supporter of the PTO over at Horning Elementary. There's almost always something to fund at the schools. I'm grateful for hospitals who are always doing campaigns as well. I'm grateful for my colleges and seminaries who send us letters on the regular asking us to help them with one campaign or another. I want to tell you why I think this campaign is important. Someday, I think these walls will contain the next baptism. Somebody in our midst may be in the midst of discerning a call to ministry themselves. Somebody is going to decide to get married right here on this altar. Someday, somebody in the future will be looking back on this moment, thanking God that there's still air conditioning in the sanctuary. Someday, somebody will look back on this moment and remember the time that we decided to put an elementary school age playground outside on our church campus, and they'll be running around on the playground and they'll pause for a moment and look at a plaque that we intend to put there, and they'll remember all of the saints who decided to put a little bit of their resources into building that playground so that kids for generations can enjoy that space. As we move into this time, I hope that all of us will take a moment and reflect on all of the moments that have been significant in our life along the journey that we've been in to get here. I hope you'll take a moment and thank the people that helped raise you and created you as the people that you are today. Perhaps your mother or somebody who acted like a mother to you, the people who laid the foundation for your life as it is right now. I think if we all take a moment and remind ourselves that Jesus Christ is the foundation for everything that we do and everything that we have become, I hope that in the midst of that, we'll find a way to respond in gratitude for the great foundation that we've inherited. Thanks be to God for these people in our past who helped us be here today. For John Wesley, whose heart was strangely warmed over 300 years ago. Thanks be to God, he started a self-righteous holiness club. We all inherited that gift. tens of thousands of churches were started, built, sustained, and maintained. All because John Wesley looked out and said, I believe that the church is alive. I believe that the future is brighter than its past. If the parking lot could talk, it would tell you so many stories of holy conversations that have taken place on that asphalt. Let's make sure those conversations continue to take place for a generation to come. Thanks be to God for the fire that was lit back in the day when people were doing Bible studies in people's houses, and for the United Methodist Women's roots who decided to replace the kerosene lamps with chandeliers. Thanks be to God for the saints who finished their course in faith and now resting from their labor, whose generosity we inherit and benefit from to this day. What a beautiful foundation. Thanks be to God for our mothers who gave life to us and gave us the opportunity we have to be here today. Amen.
May has arrived. Graduations, weddings, yard work, summer holidays, camping, and spring cleaning. At the Saguenay Methodist Mission a few years ago, just before the Memorial Day ceremony at the adjacent cemetery, I gathered the tattered remains of the small veterans' flags placed at the grave sites the previous year. I saw one of the workers at the Chippewa Tribal Center across the road taking down portions of a tree with a chainsaw. So I crossed over to ask him whether Native Americans observed any special ceremony or procedure for disposing of old flags. He said he wasn't aware of any, but while chopping away at the branches of the tree, he found a squirrel's nest stuffed full of little flags. Some little mama must have thought, these would look great in the nursery. Gracious Creator, even as we worship your holiness and marvel at the glory of your magnificent creation, We also acknowledge that small everyday miracles still abound in our lives. Moms rock their babies, read stories to their toddlers, and send young ones off to school with hair combed and homework in hand. Bless those who nurture and those who grow into adulthood with the education and the tools to successfully navigate whatever the future holds. Bless and guide the new Catholic Pope in his role as world influencer. Guide and refresh us, Lord, that we may face our most difficult days with your peace in our hearts. Grant us the courage to reach out to others less fortunate, to stand against injustice where we see it, and to demonstrate the principles laid out by Jesus' example. We also pray, merciful God, for an opportunity to simply sit and breathe in some gentle winds while soaking up the warmth and comfort of your glorious summer sunshine. We ask that you bless these prayer quilts so that they provide comfort and hope to the recipients, Robert, and two anonymous persons who ask for prayers. Please send your love and calming presence upon them as they face the trials in their lives. At this time, we lift in silence the concerns and joys we hold in our hearts. Let us experience your Holy Spirit flowing through us as we repeat the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
At this time, I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward to receive our offering. As you surmise from John's sermon, your gifts are what have created this place, a place of safety and refuge, a place of spiritual growth and excitement, a place where people come to be connected to God and to each other. And so we thank you for your generosity of your time, your talents, your gifts, your presence, and your service. Thank you.
At this time, we would like to take a few moments to personally recognize our graduates. Would any of you who are present please come up here now? And I have a couple of helpers that can come and take some books. Oh, you did it! You crossed the finish line, but now is really just the beginning. We honor your success and encourage your continuing efforts toward your personal goals. And thanks, Mom and Dad, for your support and guidance of these young adults. We have 12 graduates this year. Of course, obviously, not all of them are here at First Service. The Brighton United Methodist Women in Faith have a small gift for you to mark this milestone and remind you that your church family will be here as your foundation and your future. We are so proud. Congratulations. Would you take just a moment to say your name and where you graduated?
My name's Caitlin, and I'm graduating from Brighton High School, and my plan next year is to go to Central Michigan University.
My name's Brenna Wade. I'm graduating from Brighton High School, and my plan next year is to attend Western Michigan.
Thank you very much, graduates.
Thank you.
Lord God of heaven and earth, we bring our offerings to you. We ask that you would bless them and guide us in using them in the best ways to achieve your mission for us. Help us to build on the foundation you have provided, always striving and giving our best. In your name we pray. Amen.
In the midst of these next couple of weeks together, that there will be some of us out there who say, I'm able to lay my brick. This is what I'm able to do in the midst of this time. I'm able to do my piece. I'm hoping that there are some folks who feel called, that they feel like they're able to build a wall, that they're able to do their part to make this church a continued blessing for generations to come, and that there might be some folks in our midst who feel called to build a sanctuary, a place that is safe, a place that is welcoming, a place that transforms people's lives. We need bricklayers and wall builders and sanctuary builders. That is who we are. A church that cares about people long into the future. A church that continues to be a blessing, not only for ourselves, but for others who will join with us at some point in the future. As we depart from this place, thank God for all of you moms in our midst. Thank God for the gift that you have given to make the world a brighter and more beautiful place. As you go out into this world, may you celebrate and be celebrated. We give thanks for you. As we depart from this place, may we go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.